You are now immersed in the Superfans Soccer Cast with your hosts, Maddie Savage and Mike Apex. It's about to get lit.
Welcome in, super fans, and we are going straight to the dome piece on this one. And I tell you what, Maddie, these playoffs have had more action and drama than a Clint Eastwood spaghetti western. You know what I'm saying? Like, this whole week, this past week of the playoffs has been like the good, the bad, and the ugly. What say you, bro?
Yes, don't remind me. It has been a ugly weekend. I had pretty much all the teams that I was rooting for this weekend. I sent you something, and I'm gonna keep it PG-13. They they crapped the bed, to say it very nicely. But yeah, that's the way it goes. Sometimes they win, sometimes they lose. But yeah, the drama was, I mean, intense. Some of the games were just nuts, or like you like to say, they were crazy. They were doing crazy games.
Yeah, I appreciate that GIF or GIF, however you want to call it, that tickle me elbow, Elmo on the toiletto. That was crazy. Yeah, man, it definitely was man, it's been very exciting. It's definitely have been a drama-filled playoffs and just crazy, as I was mentioning. But, yeah, man, so I guess we're going to start off with we got the theme right now, guys. Like, this is a spaghetti western. So we're going to start off with the good, Maddie. And, man, we had an excellent playoff series out west between the Seattle and Minnesota, man. I mean, this went back and forth like a tennis match, man. This was just a high-power series. Pretty much went how we predicted. It did bust my bracket, as you let me know. It blew my bracket up, guys, because I had Seattle pulling this one out. I thought they had the experience, of course, the talent, and the coaching. You know, I thought they had all three, the trifecta as far as this, but I was wrong.
Yeah, Minnesota, they showed some heart in that match, because I remember texting you when it was 2-0 for Seattle, and I said, I even said it. I was like, it's over, because the second match, Seattle, you know, they blew the doors off with their offense. It was 4-2 in the second game at home. And then they start out on the road the third game, and then it's like within the first 10 minutes, it's already up 2. I told you, I said, they found something. They must have unlocked something on the defense for Minnesota, and then they like what they see. So shout out to Minnesota's coach, Ramsey, for making adjustments after that scoreline, because they fought their way back in. And like I said, they got another goal, made it 2-1 at halftime, got into halftime, made even more adjustments, made some personnel changes, and like I said, went all the way down to the wire. I mean, 3-3 went into penalties, and the penalties went all the way down to the goalkeepers. I mean, that's how tightly contested these two teams were. I mean, you're talking about literally splitting hairs. I mean, that's what it was. I mean, there was nothing in between them. I mean, excellent series. I mean, it was got to be one of the ones that go down in the history for how close it was.
Yes, definitely. Epic match. Game 3, do or die. And one for the ages, for sure. Like you said, Maddie, you did. You were hitting me up, and you were letting me know. We both thought it was a done deal. Like, I was looking for the fork to stick in Seattle, Minnesota, and apparently they got the fork and the knife, and they got the carving Seattle up. They got the carving them Sounders up, and they ended up eating some killer whale at the end of the day, right? Man, it was just crazy. And, man, it's the drama, Maddie, like, just watching it when it goes to PKs. I don't know, man. I just get a rush, you know what I'm saying? Us both being competitors. It felt like I was on the field. Like, it was one of us was going to be, you know, our chance to get up there and, hold it down and kick the possibly game-winning goal. But, man, just coming down to the goalkeepers was crazy. And those guys were just, man, I love it. The trash-talking, Maddie, I love it. You know, shout-out to Minnesota, man. Those guys over there and the keeper and Seattle's guy. He didn't even get it blocked. He hit the top of the goal post, if I'm not mistaken, Maddie. And definitely heartbreaking. And Seattle Sounders super fans up there, hey, you had it. Just couldn't hold on to it. You know what I'm saying? And nothing to be ashamed of. But Maddie, again, Minnesota, kudos, hats off. In this Veterans Day, salute to these guys and all the veteran super fans out there. Excuse me. They're really impressive, Maddie. And these guys are making me, slowly but surely, are making me a believer that if they play their best, and with their coach and the strategic moves he's made, these guys could possibly make a run all the way to the MLS Cup.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, they have the squad to do it, and they've got the coach. I mean, it's how far do they, how much do they believe how far they can go? You know, it's like, yes, it's like the first round, but you're going to, now it's just a one match going forward. But you start to build that belief that, yeah, we can do it. I mean, we go from, you know, a game like that where you're down. I mean, most teams, when they go down two, they don't come back from it. Like, it's just the way it is. You have to have a lot of, mental toughness to say, hey, we're going to get back in this. And they do have that. But let's talk about the other matches. What you got? The Cincinnati and Columbus match. That one was good. That one was real good.
Yeah, it was real good. And unfortunately, that match blew up my bracket. I told you I was going to stick by my guy, Nancy, up there. And even though I knew, you know, just being real, I knew that overall Cincinnati had the better team. I mean, these guys were elite all year. They were one of the top, not just in the East, but in the whole MLS all year. And I want to go for the underdog, right? And what do they call it? The hell? Maddie, what is the term they use up there? The rivalry between those guys?
It's the hell is real rivalry, because apparently between from Columbus to Cincinnati, there's a very big, I'm surprised you haven't seen it, Mike. Apparently up that way, there's a very big like billboard or something in between there on the highway that goes between Columbus and Cincinnati. And it's the hell is real. And that's why they call it hell is real, because the road in between there has got that big sign. And I mean, in the end. Yeah, that's what I've heard. And also, I mean, okay, when they play, I mean, it's hellish on the field too sometimes. I mean, this series was pretty indicative of that. I mean, be honest.
Yes, it was. A lot of passion out there on the field. And I think that ended up being, 2-1 since he ended up winning. And that second goal, they didn't score to the 80th? Minute or something like that. I'm trying to remember.
It was the 86th minute. Yeah, it was real late.
Yeah, real late. I'm like, wow. That would have really, you know, I would have got ticked off. I would have been kind of pissed off after that, because, they were right there and pretty much thinking they're heading into PKs. But again, Maddie, That's the beauty of the MLS. That's why we love it. So, guys, you got to play all the way to the end, to the very end. And then even at the end of regulation, you may have extended time. And that's when things get really, you got to really dig deep. But, yeah, Maddie, great match up there. Shout out to Cincy. Right now, man, it's going to be crazy because it's looking like, yeah, Cincy and possibly, I don't even want to say the other team. We'll mention them. They may be, facing off against each other here in the Eastern Conference finals. But we shall see on that.
Yeah. You're talking about that team in pink?
Yes, the Pepto-Bismol guys. sorry, you-know-who super fans. We're trying to refrain. We want to show everybody some love, so we don't want to, say their name right now. But you guys, you'll figure it out.
Well, you talked about the good, so I guess you can go ahead and segue it into that and talk about the bad, because that match Saturday, well, the one on Friday too. We'll get into that one later, but. Saturday, the one that was supposed to cap off the night between Inter Miami and Nashville, man, that one was, it was a hard watch. I cut it off. I cut it off. It was that bad.
Likewise, Maddie. If you guys didn't know, Nashville, I'm a Red Bulls fan. I believe, the red runs deep over here, but my other team is Nashville, Cashville, and I was really rooting for those guys, and that match blew up my bracket also, Maddie. that game was bad to the bone, right? I think these guys, I don't know how much partying they did down there, Maddie. And me and you went back and forth on this, and super fans, you want to hear this right here. But I think these guys, they must seem like they must have partied too much, man, coming into this, deciding game three match here. Nobody showed up on the field for that game three for Nashville. I could not believe it. I was very disgusted. I was trying to stay positive, Maddie. You know how I am, always glass half full. But the debacle that was out there on that field, it hurt my stomach, man. It made me sick. And when I saw all that pink out there waving, like I said, it was definitely a Pepto-Bismol moment for me.
I don't think it has anything to do with the partying, Mike. I just think that for some reason, I know you equated it to partying. I just think that area just is in the team's head that we struggle to play here in this arena. And I don't know if it's the messy aura or what, but since he's arrived, I named you off the stats. I'm gonna name it off for everybody else. Since that he has arrived in 2023. When the team goes down to Fort Lauderdale, I refuse to call it Miami because it's not Miami. And you were talking about how they're just so close. They're so close. I don't care.
They're
into Fort Lauderdale, all right? They're not in Miami. All right, so the last couple, right? And both of the teams are fairly new. They both were introduced in the league in 2020. And so...
Correct.
We're not counting those. So I'm going to count since Messi has joined Inter Miami. We have August of 2023, which was right after the first time that they played in the the League's Cup in that epic match, uh-huh. Right? And that one went down to the PKs and the keepers having to do the PKs. If you remember that one. But yeah, coming off of that, this was like a couple of days after that, or maybe a week after that. It was 0-0, and this was at Miami, or excuse me, at Fort Lauderdale. And that was the best we've done in a long time, because after that, we played down there for the CONCACAF Champions Cup, They won 3-1. Last year, 3-1. Because we played them just the one time. This year, we played them twice in the regular season. We played them, or one time in the regular season, 2-1 down there. And then in the playoffs this year, when we went down there, it was 3-1 and 4-0. So you're talking about 4-0, 3-1, 2-1, 3-1, 3-1. Constantly. It's like they can't get past themselves. It's like once Miami gets that goal, it's like, up, here we go again. I know that you've probably had experiences like that on sports teams, Mike, where it's like you can't get over a certain team, and it's like once something starts, you know, going against you or starts going their way, it's like you can't get that monkey off your back. That's what it seems like. When we go down there, it's a totally different team. It's a totally different mindset. It's a survival kind of like instinct instead of like, let's play our game, let's play aggressive. Because the game that we saw, the game two that was at Geodis, that was the team that I know. That was one of the best games we played, and we come out with the win, 2-1. And then in a period of 7 days, 6 days, or however many it was, I mean, just terrible. There's no excuses. None.
Terrible, terrible. Just terrible. Yeah, Maddie, I hate to go there with it, but you're exactly right. It was almost like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde situation there. When you guys are at home at Geodis, beautiful stadium, you play like I expect you to play. This is what I expected throughout this whole series. But for whatever reason, and like I said, Maddie, I'm going to agree to disagree, because I think it's some partying going down down there, man. I mean, this is 4 years you guys haven't beaten them since 2021, and it's almost like now it's the curse of Messi right now, right? You know, talk about home cooking and home field, you know. And I'm not even – the refs didn't even come to play so much into this one. Guys just did not give the effort, and that's what kind of frustrated me the most. I felt like guys didn't show up. They didn't want it more, you know, and you know, it really it shocked me, to be honest, Maddie. But no worries, man. You guys had an excellent season. I'm quite sure this, you're going to have a bitter taste in your mouth, and, you know, going to come back much better next year. And whatnot. So, but as far as Miami goes, salute to those guys. You know, we joke super fans, but we have nothing but utmost respect for Inter Miami and their franchise and what Bendit, like Beckham, is you know, what he's doing down there, because he's running a great you know, great, I'm saying, program right now, a franchise down there, and they're very influential, and just hope somebody beats you guys, okay? That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, but, and I'm gonna add a little bit, just a little bit, to what you were saying, because I think it's relevant. You're talking about the good season that we had, and I think that this is where BJ Callahan needs to take the reins and say, okay, we had what we had, and we need some people who aren't going to be scared, because I think that plays some of his role. I mean, I think that's some of what goes on down there. It's like they're scared of making a mistake. The only player that, to me, well, there's two of them. Two of them don't appear scared. One of them's got stars in his eyes for sure, and that's Mukhtar. Because I mean, how many times is he gonna change his jersey for Messi's? I mean, that's just like, how many of those have you got over the years? I mean, come on, guy. Mukhtar has got stars in his eyes for Messi. Schaffelberg's got stars in his eyes for Messi. And it's like, you don't want to disrespect them, but you don't want to give them so much respect that it's like a fear. You know, it's just like, oh man, this guy can do no wrong. It's like, because if you go into it with that and you don't, you know, I'll be real with you, Mike. I want us to get a Sergio Ramos type guy. I'm not saying him, because he's up there. He's like 38, 39. But I want somebody like that that's like, I don't care. I don't care who you are. You know, I'm going to be who I am. And again, Palacios not playing. I didn't check to see if he was injured or whatever, but it's like, he played well. And then the last game, most important game of the season, he's not there. So like I said, more than likely, he probably was out, injuries, stuff like that. But we need guys who are not scared to go out there and do what needs to be done. And if you're in a game where it's going to be physical, be physical. What did I tell you, Mike? I said, we need some dogs and not some puppy dogs. We need some Rottweilers. We need some pit bulls, you know? And I was a little bit disappointed in Zimmerman because he was that. Mm-hmm. He was that backbone of the defense. He was that, you know, I'm going to do what I got to do. And this year was kind of an off year for him, unfortunately, because, you know, it's more than likely going to be his last year with the team.
Right.
That's what we need. We need some guys that'll get after it and don't mind getting their hands dirty and don't mind, you know, getting chippy, saying it like that.
No, I totally agree, Maddie. You have to play with the – that's what I love about you, Maddie, when we compete. You know, if we're playing basketball or whatever it may be, you're a competitor like me, like highly, highly competitive. And even though we're friends, you know, we're homeboys or whatever, when we're going at each other, we're going hard. You're trying to beat me. I'm trying to beat you. It ain't all of this, you know, gawking and you know, pause worshiping this guy just because he's messy and he's the GOAT. I get it. But as a competitor, somebody who looks up to this guy, you got to go in saying, I'm going to beat him. I'm going to take him off the throne, right? I got to, you know, take this guy out. This is for, you know, this is game three for everything. And the fact that you guys were this talented, I mean, you're on the same level or better than Miami, in my opinion. And guys just did not show up, as you mentioned, Maddie. It just seems like they were starstruck and, you know, they didn't want to go out there and actually play to win, especially Mukhtar. Yo, what was you doing? Like, dude, you know, your coach, shout out to him, great guy. I would have been getting in some of these guys ASS, you know what I'm saying, straight up. Like, I would have been like, yo, it's what? It's nut check, gut check time right now because this is what we're doing. When I know what you're capable of, I mean, that's the sad part of it all. But again, Maddie, nothing to be ashamed of. Definitely great season. And I'm proud of you guys. And, you know, can't really talk bad about them overall. Had a great season, you know what I'm saying, overall.
That's true. I mean, U.S. Open Cup champions can't fault them for that. But I don't like the way the season ended. On that note, I mean, 4-0 the last game is just you're right. It leaves a bad taste in the mouth. But I think you're about to move on to the other bad game, which was happened last night between San Diego and Portland.
Yeah. Portland. Look, guys, or should I say Timbers? You guys look like some twigs out there last night, right? You guys look like pine straw out there last night. Maddie, no logical. I mean, I understand guys going on the road and having to play. Like I said, it's a game three. And you mentioned, you said a word, and I don't like to say that when these guys get to this point, but playing scared. Playing scared, Maddie. Down in San Diego, we know how the fans get down, super fans, excuse me, down there. Those guys are vicious, right? Those guys will bite your head off. We've seen them fighting and talking trash, and we love it, right? We love it. There's no violence involved, nobody's getting hurt. I don't mind it. I'm here for it. However, Portland, you guys, what do you do? Did you ever get off the plane? Did you ever show up at the game? I mean, what happened out there last night, Maddie? I saw it, and it look, man, they look like they ain't even want to be there, Maddie. I don't know if you saw watching that match last night, but I was like looking at these guys because it came on later. It came on around 9 p.m. our time. And, yeah, Maddie, I watched maybe about first 30, 40 minutes of it all. And I was like, ah, this is going to be a bad, bad match right here.
And I'm going to dive a little bit deeper into it than what you were saying. I mean, yeah, they didn't seem to get off the plane. I agree. They didn't show up for this one. San Diego had their way with the Timbers. But we're starting to see a theme with Phil Neville in closeout games or Phil Neville in playoff matches. And the same thing happened last year where they got embarrassed for the last game of the season. And what we just talked about with Nashville, how it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Imagine how the Portland fans, the super fans, feel in 2 years in a row, the last game of the season, you get just blown out, just no, like, did you even show up kind of deal. And it was so bad last year that Evander won it out because he was with the team. He was with Portland last year. So it was so bad he wanted to leave. And you got to start looking at, all right, who's around? It's like, you got the same coach. So we've talked about the revolving door that is MLS coaching, right? And I'm not saying, oh, you want to like just fire him, but the when they start looking at, okay, postseason interviews and looking at what went wrong and this and the third, that just has to come up.
Yeah, Maddie. So just looking at this whole situation, man, is pretty disgusting for me. When you think about Portland coming in here and just a lackluster performance. And to be honest, that's going to fall back on their head coach, right? He did not have these guys mentally focused and ready to go. I mean, they played great at home. Portland super fans were rocking up there. But when they got down, you know, down there and had to actually show up and play, these guys, man, they stunk up the joint.
Yeah, I mean, you like I said, I don't want anybody to be like a fearful for their job, especially the coaches. They have it hard anyways. But I'm just gonna go out and say this: that Phil Neville, if he's not on the hot seat to begin the season already, then he will be. Like, they're from the very first kick, he's going to be in the hot seat. Because whenever you go down the way you do last year, the same scenario, you lose the closeout game and get blown out. I mean, I think it was 4-0 in that game as well. And then Evander wants to leave. That's bad enough. Then you have, you know, you make the playoffs, and then the closeout game, you get embarrassed again. You have to start taking ownership. You have to start saying, like, hey, this is my guys, this is the team, and you know, they're not performing for me because, you know, whatever, throw whatever personal reasons out there, or they're just not motivated by you. So either way, you are the central reason. And it's unfortunate because I think he's a decent coach. It's not that he's bad, but, you know, Just like in the NFL, I can think of a couple of coaches that they can get you to the playoffs and you know, you can win 13. The playoffs, right. Think about it, Mike. You know this as good as me. There are several coaches that could dominate in the regular season, let them get to the postseason, and they act like they ain't never coached a game in their life. Maybe that's what Phil Neville has going for him. It's just when the playoffs come, he hit, you know, that old saying in sports, hear them footsteps. Maybe that's what he's got going on.
I gotta agree with you, Maddie. And he's definitely, as you mentioned, the first coach on the hot seat. I mean, already, guy, and deservedly so. I mean, you think about it, this has become a pattern with this guy. And you know, I think as talent wise, they are there, right? We know these guys are excellent, and compared to San Diego, I mean, they won at home. They had a great performance at home, Maddie. So that does have a lot to do with coaching. I think he can correct the ship. I think, you know, he has the right ingredients. He just has to add, you know, a few more you know, a few more things to that pot. You know what I'm saying? He got it cooking right now, but he has to add a few more things to the pot. Now, whether they pull this pot before it's cooked, who knows? You know, the MLS is very volatile, guys. They don't play any games over here. You know, I'm gonna do a little segue now, Maddie, because my coach, this is NFL, my guy over there, Daboll, and I'm a New York Giants fan. He just got axed. And, you know, hate to see him go, Maddie, but same thing. Wasn't getting the job done. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people were in the comments and stuff. I'm on Bleacher Report. And everybody was, oh, don't talk bad about Daboll. Yo, these guys are getting paid millions of dollars, Maddie. Like, they get fired. They're still getting a portion of their salary, or most of their salary anyway. So, you know, he tried and just couldn't get it done. So, you know, but I just want to transition real quick, Maddie. I got one more good game that I wanted to mention. And, okay. Yeah, man, and I was really excited to say this. But, yeah, man, in the 2025 MLS Next Pro Cup final was my Red Bulls, my Young Bulls, 2 versus the Colorado Rapids 2, Maddie. And great match. I ain't gonna lie to you, I thought we were gonna lose because it was like we're down like 0-2 at halftime. And I kind of like passed out and I ended up waking back up and caught the end of it all. I think we tied it up in the, I think it was named Mascara. He tied it up in the 81st minute. We went to PKs, first time ever in a, you know, MLS Next Cup final, Pro Cup final. And we ended up winning, Maddie. I think it was like 3-1 in PKs. And it's just an exciting game. Shout out to the Red Bulls fans. They said that was the largest attendance for MLS Next Pro, you know, game. And I think the future is very bright for us, Maddie. You know, I was really kind of pissed off because of how my the big Red Bulls did this year. But the young guys held it down, Maddie. And, man, I can't wait. We have a lot of talented players. And, you know, hopefully we'll see a lot of them moving forward and, you know, stepping up next year, hopefully.
Well, congratulations to you guys. That was good. I will say this. That's a I hate to say foreboding, that a sign of the future to come, because I want to say 2 years ago, or maybe three, Columbus Crew 2-1 theirs, and then the year after, Columbus Crew won. So, like I said, you just never know. It might be, you know, drawing from another talent pool to get you guys over the hump, it seems. And really, you guys are in that perfect mix of with veterans and young players. If y'all can get the right coach in now that y'all, you know, have an opening, they can blend the youthfulness and eager legs and that, you know, youth with the experience. I mean, you guys could go really far, I think. I mean, because I can't think of too many teams to have that that mix where they can do both. A lot of teams, either they're solidly veteran or they might like a lot of younger players. Like, very few teams have a good mix of both of those.
Excellent point, Maddie. I think that's the balance that you have to have. You're right. You need some good veteran leadership, and you need some good young up-and-coming talent. I'm going to be honest with you, Maddie. The guy that we should have kept I think we should bring back, you know, Atlanta brought back Tata. You know, shout out to him, Arthur Blank. That was a great move. Your one and only championship, you know, head coach over there. My guy, what is it? Lassane, right? Lassane, Maddie. We should have never got rid of him. You know what I'm saying? In my opinion, he did well as interim. He was doing great. He had a connection with the guys. You know what I'm saying? I love his fire. I love his fight. This guy went to bat for the players. We made the playoffs with him. And I think he just got let go, if I'm not mistaken, from D.C., right? So I think he may be available. I would definitely interview him, and you know, he knows our system and whatnot, man. So I would definitely like to see him, you know, get an opportunity to come back home and coach the Rebels.
Yeah, that's an option. I'm not too sure what he did after the DC move. I don't know if he went to USL or, you know, they got all these other other teams and leagues looking for coaches. So he might be there, but I mean, if you ask, not to throw shade or anything, but it's like, hey, the New York Red Bulls give you a call, or, you know, these USL, I want to say it was USL one, not even the championship, like the top tier. It was like the second tier that last time I checked. But either way, he's either not doing anything or he's doing USL.
Right. Give him another opportunity, man. I thought he was great. They didn't like his fire, apparently. He's definitely not one of those brown-nosed dudes. You know, he's going to, you know, stand on principle, and I respect that. And I think that's what we need, somebody that's going to hold the players accountable and also going to, you know, go to bat for him, so to speak, you know. He wasn't afraid to get a, you know, get a penalty from the ref. That's kind of giving you guys a little segue there. But, yeah, man, definitely would like to see him maybe get an opportunity. And I don't know who we're going to get. They want a big name, but sometimes you have to get the most important thing is to get a good fit.
You know, it would be crazy since Atlanta got Tata Martino. Maybe you guys should go after Valentino.
I didn't think of that. Bro,
I mean,
Valentino could fit, bro. You're right.
Give him a chance.
He could fit. I don't know.
Rob Valentino, pick up the phone if Red Bulls is calling.
Hey, I would love that. You're right, Matt. He deserves an interview also, a shot also. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, because we got rid of the sporting, was it sporting manager or whatever? So I don't even know who's going to get that position, you know? So, I mean, man, it's crazy, but I do think the future looks bright for us. Captain, Lewis Morgan, I hope you come back healthy next year. We miss you, guy. I mean, that was a blow. So anywho.
Well, all right, we've talked about the good, we've talked about the bad. Let's get into the ugly.
The fugly. Yeah. Yeah, that's fugly right there, Maddie. Yeah, guys, so got a little treat for you. Yeah, so we ended up taking a road trip, guys, and man, let me tell you, I had a blast with my guys, you know, Maddie Savage and his brother, you know, I call him Double A Ron, you know, he came out and we went up to Charlotte, to Bank of America Stadium to watch, man, I just got to call it like I see it, Maddie, a debacle of a playoff game. I mean,
yeah, it was pretty bad. The vibes were good. The game was bad. The referee was totally out of his element. He had zero control over that match. None. I mean, it was sad.
What was his name, Maddie?
I don't even know his name. I've never even heard of this guy before. I've seen him ref a few games. I couldn't even tell you his name. And that was when I knew. I hate, we are conspiracy-ish types, right? And the first thing we were doing before the game, right? And I was like, let me check and see who's reffing the game. And whenever I went through and I didn't recognize any of them, I was like, I looked over at Aaron. I was like, oh, this ain't good, guys. This ain't good at all.
Yeah, I remember that. We were kind of looking at right before the game. And let me say something real quick before I get too far in, before we dive into this, guys. So we're going to dive into this ugly situation right here. So Shout out to Dos Caminos.
We stopped over there, guys, and got some food right there downtown Charlotte. Highly recommend. It's about, what, Maddie, maybe a block and a half away from the stadium. We had great parking right next to the stadium. But, yeah, I had me a little drinky drink. And what was it, Maddie? Was it the...
was that margarita?
Cadillac, I think it was. And, yeah, guys, I was sipping on that. So I was feeling good.
Had some chicken tacos, street tacos. Maddie was eating good, you know.
Aaron, he, you know, it was just, guys, we were lit. We went into that stadium, and Maddie will tell you, it was crazy. The fans were, you know, it was a really festive scene. I had been to the stadium before, Maddie, but I didn't know the tradition. That's the beauty of MLS, guys. Any of you super fans out there that haven't had the experience of going to a match and actually going, please go. Please go. Take your friends, take your family. Go experience the MLS. It's like Tony the Tiger great, guys. I was blown away, Maddie. The whole deal they had where we were jumping up and down, all of that stuff, it was just, man, super fantastic.
Yes, Charlotte does have a very good fan experience for sure when you're there. Like I said, that was my, I think, third game going to Charlotte. We went to one before versus Columbus, but we were on the supporter section side. I'll just say this: unless you are a supporter, don't go over there. We learned that because we were just casuals, right? And we had a guy right behind us thought that we come in at halftime and was just like looking for seats or something, and tried to be a male Karen and I'm gonna call security on you guys. I'm like, what are you talking about, bro? Like, we got tickets. Come on, dude, chill.
Oh yeah, that time. Yes, I remember that. Yeah, you took him that time with me, and you went that first time. Yeah, yeah, that was crazy. Yeah, yeah.
And that one was it did mess with the environment, because you know, once the guy did all that, it just made me feel like I don't know. I was out of place the whole time after that. But the other times that I've gone, I've been on the other side. The last time it was Nashville and Charlotte, and Charlotte got the dub 1-0, and I took some people. I took my wife and Aaron as well, and his wife. That was great.
Right.
That was actually the first time, like I said, able to see the pregame and, you know, the night lighting the torch and all that stuff. Like, for a team that hasn't been around very long, they have a culture already, and that's crazy to say, because I've been to the Benz a couple of times, and you know, they got the golden the golden spike that they hit and all that stuff, and they got the train horn when they score goals. Like, that's cool. But like I said, the fact that Charlotte has an established culture, and they just started, what, 2021, 2022, I think it was their first season. So 3 years in the league, and you're already talking about, yeah, this is what they do, like, for sure. That part is cool. But let's get back to the let's get back to the match. Let's get back to the on the field. Just as a wrap up, quick wrap up, it was 3-1 to NYCFC. The first half, it was 1-0 NYCFC, and Charlotte had so many opportunities. I mean, so many opportunities to score. And it seemed like they were too hesitant to take the shot. They were trying to pass around too much. We said that at halftime. Too much passing, not enough shooting to get shots on goal. And it come back to bite them. That second half, they played a little bit more loose. I mean, really, they got beat by three transition moments basically transition defense, transition offense, whatever you want to call it, like fast break if you're, you know, a basketball person. That's essentially what beat them, because NYC took it on a transition moment three different times and scored three different goals off of transition. And if that doesn't happen, the game was very close other than those three moments. And that's pretty much how it went. Charlotte takes advantage of their opportunities and plays better defense in transition, and it's a totally, totally different game, and we're talking about a totally different team winning the series.
Definitely, Maddie. The game, I mean, to be honest, Maddie, for the most part, the game, guys, is closer than the score would allude to, right? Ended up being 3-1. I think a couple lapses there in the second half where Charlotte gave up those goals. Where they were right there, Maddie. They had a good chance when they scored that one. Thought they had a chance to tie it up. Then they had a lapse, gave up a goal, and then that other one was just like the cherry on top, right? But just quick stats, guys. As you mentioned, Maddie, possession was kind of even. Charlotte had possession 48%. NYCFC 52%. Charlotte had 16 shots on goal, Maddie. 16, right? Only one was on target. Now that's kind of in a nutshell, guys. And in NYCFC, I'm looking here, 8 shots on goal. Right, and 7 were on target, and they ended up scoring 3 times. So the efficiency, Maddie, that was a big difference in this, match. Also, besides the officiating,
yeah, that is what made the game ugly. That's what made the game ugly because, I mean, first of all, it was: is it a foul? Is it not a foul? Oh, it's a foul for you. It's not a foul for them. It's back and forth. And then it's like, okay, how many times is this player going to get a foul against a certain player and it not be a yellow card? And then the ref in the second half wanted to show out and proceed to give 3 yellow cards to players on NYC. He just had no handle on it. I mean, and how he did it, he made it all about him, like we were talking about. He made it all about him, like, ooh, look at me. And he took it out and he flourished it in a type of way, like, you know. It's like, dude, it shouldn't have gotten to that point where you felt the need or you had to card 3 people at the same time. Like, bam, bam, bam. It should have been like, hey, cut it out. Like, no, you know, respect the official, not let it get to the point where, I mean, there was a point in the game where the entire stadium, and you can probably, if you go back and watch, or if you were watching at home, the entire stadium was saying, ref, you suck. Ref, you suck. I mean, I'm pretty sure you can hear it audibly on the replay. It was bad. I mean, it was as loud as at any event that I've ever been to, anybody saying that.
Yeah, it really was. And I'm surprised they weren't using some adult language in that situation, Maddie, because he deserved it. Again, I mean, all the shade, guys. This no-name referee was deciding, right, refereeing a game 3 do-or-die game. MLS, what are we doing? Commish, what are we doing? This was blasphemy, guys. Look, I don't mind these guys losing, right? But when you got a referee that's out here playing games, and then on top of that, Maddie, one of the players, forget his name, it was a gruesome injury. God bless him, a speedy recovery. He hurt his ankle, if I'm not mistaken, Maddie, like he dislocated or broke it or whatever. It was looking crazy. I didn't even remember. I told you, I put my head down. I didn't even want to look at it. And some of the guys were, like, out there. Some guys were crying, Maddie. I don't know if you can recall. They were just, like, in shock. All because of this ref did not know how to take control of the match. I mean, guys are going to get chippy. We know it's a game 3. We, you know, it's all right. They're competing. They're going hard. But as you mentioned, Maddie, this guy, he had the audacity to pull a, like you said, everybody knew he was doing a garbage job, officiating the game. He was horrible. But when he finally pulled the yellow card, Maddie, he holds it up and he shows it. He's like trying to, you know, he's trolling us. He's literally trolling the fans, guys. He's controlling the Charlotte Super fans. He's holding the cards up. He's turning around. And I'm like, and me and Maddie's like, yo, what the F are you doing right now? Like, it was ridiculous. And I'm going to be honest, Maddie, this is where that ref needs to be reprimanded. He got to be reprimanded, Maddie. Now, I don't know if anybody in the mainstream, or as Maddie says, the lamestream media, I haven't even heard anybody really talk about it like this, Maddie. Correct me if I'm wrong, but from what we saw being there, it was a hellacious job. And the sad part is, Maddie, you got the other refs that are on the sideline. They really can't do anything. He's the boss, right?
Yeah, the people on the side judges and everything, my only gripe with them in the first half was there was a lot of, I felt, stoppages. And I think they only did like 3 minutes of extra time or added time in the first half. I just guesstimated there was going to at least be five or six. And then there ended up being only three. I thought that Charlotte got a little bit gypped on that in the first half. And then in the second half, because of, you know, the chippiness of it and then the injury and whatnot, there ended up being 12 minutes, which that was fair. But, yeah, the first half, the only 3 minutes, there was a lot of stoppages that, I mean, ultimately Charlotte didn't get it done. They didn't take advantage of the opportunities to score. And, you know, that's just the way it goes. But you do feel for them because they did get shafted with a really bad ref. I mean, and we're talking about the playoffs here. And really in a game three, in a final deciding match, you shouldn't have these guys where it's just like, yeah, I've never heard of him before. Like, I don't even know, you know, you at least from watching all of the games, you should have an idea of, you know, when you recognize a name, you're like, yeah. Or if you see a face, you're like, I kind of, you know, like, trust me, Penso, I think is one of the names, because a husband and wife duo. Trust me, I know that she is terrible. I've been to a game that she officiated. I know she's terrible. So whenever I hear that name, I'm like, yep, she's bad. But these other ones, like, you don't expect to see them in the playoffs, especially in deciding games. So I don't know how the MLS can rectify this other than, you know, improving, you know, the refereeing pool, because some of them are very good. Like I said, I don't rightly know like the names, but like when I see their family, yeah. And also like whenever they have control over a match, you just know like how they're like, they don't take any junk. It's like, calm down. Like, I mean, you even had some of the players, I mean, really, really going in. What's his name? Zaha really went in on the ref, rightly so. I mean, he goes in on most of the refs. But you had one of the players from NYCFC. I think it was, I cannot think of his name right now. Maxi Morales. Yeah, mm-hmm. He was the one that was really getting after the ref. And, I mean, generally speaking, if it gets that kind of contentious, the ref's going to do a yellow card. And I don't think he even got one. And if he did, it may have been, you know, that smug three-player yellow card where it's just like, okay, I got to do something now.
Right. And Maddie, I definitely agree with you. And with all of the rigged accusations that's swirling around in the sports world right now, this was the only match that night, right? That was the only match that was being played, correct? That was the only MLS playoff match, right? So why wouldn't you have some veteran referees, right, who are experienced and been in these situations, right? That guy could have been a side judge, side ref, right? He didn't have to be the main guy because he did not know what he's doing. And I'm glad you mentioned Zaha. I'm going to shout Zaha out. Zaha, I thought he played pretty, you know, he did his thing. He had a couple opportunities here or there. But, you know, overall, I felt like he was getting kind of handled out there. We know his situation. He's always, you know, throwing his hands up or whatever, but I saw at least two where I felt like it should have been, you know, a yellow card on against him. You know what I'm saying? Where they've been pretty physical with this guy. But I guess maybe, I don't know, Maddie, maybe his reputation precedes him, and that's why he wasn't getting calls. But this referee, he was out of his element, out of his sorts, and out of his gourd because he called a horrible match. And, you know, definitely MLS, please step your officiating game up. We're heading into it's going to be a super fans playoff weekend next weekend, and it's going to be crazy with all the, you know, semi-conference matches, Maddie. And I don't want to see this type of refereeing, Maddie, because it really, you know, it really made me sick out there. I didn't like that, man.
Yeah, you mentioned the semi-conference games. Let's get past this, the ugliness, and let's get into some previews for that. So we got what? On the East, we got Philly and who is that? Philly and New York and Miami and Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be some interesting matchups. I mean, you got the New York and the Philly rivalry. Those guys just generally don't like each other in sports, so that's going to be interesting. I don't know. That's a toss up to me because New York has been this very kind of tricky. I'll call them they're tricky. They're shifty. You don't think that they're as good as they are until you know, they turn around and either beat you or you can't quite get over on them. You know, they're just solid. Sneaky solid.
Yes. Yes. Definitely. And very efficient, as we saw in against Charlotte. I mean, these guys played till the end, man. I mean, they scored in the extended time I think maybe the 92nd minute or something like that, where they scored that one goal. And the fans start leaving and super fans start leaving in droves. That was it, you know.
Whoa. I got to correct you there, sir. The fans were leaving. The super fans were staying. Get that right.
My bad. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, you're right, Maddie. Correction. Yes, indeed. The real super fans, they like us, we stayed and watched the whole match. Thank you, Maddie. Excellent. Yes. This is true. Those wannabe fans over there, right? Wannabe super fans. They were the ones leaving in droves. And yeah, Charlotte, shame on you guys. And remember, I think I made a quote, Maddie. I was talking. I said, see, these same so-called fans, if Charlotte were to score comeback, they'll be feeling, you know, stupid or whatever. Because it was like 12 minutes. It was 12 minutes, so it was no reason for them to leave that early. That's a whole lot of time, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of understand it too a bit because they scored kind of late in the extra time. I think they scored like the 96th or 97th minute, and then it was going to like 102. So, like, they didn't have that much time, but you're right. I mean, you got to play it to the end because up until that moment, I mean, it was if Charlotte got the goal, that it would have tied them and they would have went into penalty kicks and the whole nine yards. We were hanging around because it looked like the player was offsides, and he may have been. Again, that's another where they got to look at it and, you know, they got to do the VAR and all of that. Yeah, they didn't even review it. They should have. That's another case, you know, the all the way down from the VAR room all the way to on the field. They were out of it. It bad.
Yeah.
But swinging back over, we're giving you guys a little quick appetizer, right? Just a little super fan salad right here as far as the semifinals, next weekend. You mentioned Philly and NYCFC. That's going to be a great battle. And the other match, Maddie, Cincy and Inter Miami, that's going to be crazy.
I'm curious to see if Cincinnati can step up to the plate. Because we've seen, okay, you beat your rivals in the first playoff match, series, whatever you want to call it, right? All right, cool. But in that middle game, when they went to Columbus, they stunk it up. They didn't show up at all. I mean, it was bad. And I understand you're going to have your moments where, you know, hey, we lost. And aggregate doesn't matter, so whatever. But they played so poor, I didn't think that they were going to be able to come back from it. They did. And their stars have shined in Evander and Brenner. Mm-hmm. But the question is going to be, can they continue? Can they continue to do that versus Miami? And also, on the flip side for Miami, you guys have been riding high with Messi. Messi. All right, so now it's ride or die with Messi. Can he continue it? Can he continue the tear to just keep scoring and scoring and scoring all of y'all's goals? Because nobody else is doing anything. Allende is like the next one. Suarez is playing with one leg. I mean, can they continue it? Because if he has an off game, you're probably going to lose. Let's be real.
He's the key. All right. You keep him locked down, you pretty much can count that as a dub, you know. But moving on, Maddie, we don't want to get too deep because our next episode, guys, we're giving you, like I said, a little appetizer right now. Our next episode, we're going to, you know, pretty much dive in deep and break down all of these, you know, conference semifinal matchups. And, you know, we're going to go pretty in-depth on that. But swinging over to the West, Maddie, we got Vancouver and LAFC. What are your thoughts on that initially?
Initially is get your popcorn. That's what my initial thoughts are because, really, man, think about it. Vancouver's been solid, and then you get a legend in Thomas Mueller. The coach has been doing very well. I mean, that's it's excellent. But then you also have the team that's surging at the moment that just got human Son. That tandem between Son and Bwanga has been really good. And LAFC is always just, you know, they stay around the top of the table typically. So again, get your popcorn cuz that's going to be a very good game.
Yes, enough said on that, Maddie. And the final matchup is going to be San Diego FC with those crazy super fans down there. And they're going against Minnesota, the Young Guns. I'm just going to say this. That match, man, I got a lot of respect for Minnesota. The way they've been just... The way they came back and beat Seattle. Maddie, I'm going to be honest with you. I wouldn't be surprised if they can pull this out and upset San Diego.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me either. Especially, like I said, I really gained a lot of respect for Minnesota and for their coach in the last game, similar to how you said it. Because I had Seattle down for more experience and, you know, all of this. And even though Seattle goes up two goals real fast, It didn't matter. I mean, they made adjustments. They got back into the game and, you know, ended up winning it. So they're battle tested and they play very, very good defense. So it's going to be the high powered offense of San Diego versus the pragmatic defense of Minnesota. Who's going to break? That's the key to that game. Who's going to break? Is the defense going to break? Or is the offense gonna, you know, not play up to par what we're used to seeing?
Yes, indeed. And I'll take it even one step further. You mentioned the coaches. It's definitely going to be a chess match between these two, right? Look, Minnesota coach, this guy, we've been praising him, Maddie, for the last 2 years. This guy just keeps getting better and better. And it seems like when the stakes are high and the pressure's on, this guy knows which buttons to press and which moves to make in order to put his team in position to win. So I think that's going to, you know, make a big difference in this when all things are said, because talent-wise, and like you said, these guys are very confident. Minnesota, I mean, they have no reason to think they can't go in there and get a win.
This is very true. And like I said, I'm almost more interested in the Western Conference matchups than the East. I don't know. Like I said, they got more sizzle. There's some steak there. You know what I'm saying? It's like one side has got chicken, the other side's got steak. That's how I feel like.
Okay. I like that. Like my medium rare, definitely. Yeah, okay. Well, guys, hey, get your popcorn ready. As Maddie said, next week it's going to be on like hot butter popcorn, right? We're going to have it popping like Orville Rettenbacher. And we're going to break it down and go really deep, like I said, on these matchups. And if any of you guys that like to gamble, Get your money ready. What are we on now? What is it, Maddie? FanDuel or DraftKings? I can't remember what
MLS is on right now. But
I want to say it's DraftKings. I'm not entirely sure. I don't gamble. I don't make enough money to gamble, so
$5. Come on.
That's how you lose it. That's how you lose it. It's like, oh, it's only $5, and then again it's only $5. The next thing you know, $5 adds up. Like, nope, I'll leave that to other people. I don't mess with it.
Self control, but yeah,
I got it, Maddie. Well, it's been fun, and
all right, guys and gals. Until next time, have fun, be safe. And have a super fantastic week.
Peace.
All right, you knuckleheads. We'll catch you later.
Joining us and showing your support. Become a part of our community by subscribing to our SoccerCast. Hit us up and send your comments to info@superfansusa.com. Peace.